Probably the hardest part of being an American poet is living in America. McMansions, People Magazine, shopping malls. The American way of life makes for an unpromising ecosystem for poets. Or does it? This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, July 12, 2006. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, a trip to the mall with Tony Hoagland. Some poets don't allow much contemporary American reality into their poems. You're not likely to see Donald Trump mentioned, for example, in the poetry of Louise Glück. For me, that's one of the appeals of poetry. It offers an alternative to the morass of suburban sprawl and celebrity culture that we live in. But Tony Hoagland says that literary escapism is not possible, at least for a contemporary American poet like him. He makes that argument very explicitly, with very dark humor, in his poem Hard Rain, which he introduces here.
This is about a particular moment that happens in the 21st century, when you're shopping and you're in a drugstore or a supermarket, and you hear a song that you once loved very dearly that has been turned into muzak, that is coming from the perforated speakers over your head. And in this poem, the speaker is hearing the well-known Bob Dylan apocalyptic song, It's a Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. And when you hear that, you know the hard rain has already fallen. Hard rain. After I heard, It's a Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, played softly by an accordion quartet through the ceiling speakers at the Springdale Shopping Mall, I understood. There's nothing we can't pluck the stinger from. Nothing we can't turn into a soft drink flavor or a t-shirt. Even serenity can become something horrible if you make a commercial about it, using smiling, white-haired people, quoting Thoreau to sell retirement homes in the Everglades, where the swamp has been drained and bulldozed into a 19-hole golf course with electrified alligator barriers. You can't keep beating yourself up, Billy, I heard the therapist say on television to the teenage murderer about all those people you killed. You just have to be the best person you can be, one day at a time. And everybody in the audience claps and weeps a little because the level of deep feeling has been touched, and they want to believe that the power of forgiveness is greater than the power of consequence or history. Dear Abby, my father is a businessman who travels. Each time he returns from one of his trips, his shoes and trousers are covered with blood. But he never forgets to bring me a nice present. Should I say something? Signed, America. I used to think I was not part of this, that I could mind my own business and get along. But that was just another song that had been taught to me since birth, whose words I was humming under my breath as I was walking through the Springdale Mall.
Tony Hoagland reading his poem, Hard Rain. Now that could have been a really grumpy rant, and it started off that way, but Hoagland keeps us in it with some deadpan humor. After a complaint about golf courses being built in the Everglades, we get this.
You can't keep beating yourself up, Billy, I heard the therapist say on television to the teenage murderer about all those people you killed. You just have to be the best person you can be, one day at a time.
Do you think he's quoting from a real show? I don't think so. But just the fact that I wondered about it for a second shows how on target the satire is.
Dear Abby, my father is a businessman who travels. Each time he returns from one of his trips, his shoes and trousers are covered with blood. But he never forgets to bring me a nice present. Should I say something? Signed, America.
Hoagland isn't just making fun of American culture. He's very clear about the fact that he, too, participates in the rapaciousness and violence, though there are powerful cultural forces, he says, to make him think that he doesn't.
I used to think I was not part of this, that I could mind my own business and get along. But that was just another song that had been taught to me since birth, whose words I was humming under my breath as I was walking through the Springdale Mall.
We'll go back to the mall in a few minutes, but first I wanted to play a poem that demonstrates why Tony Hoagland is the leading erotic poet of the 21st century.
This is a poem about a romantic moment, about a romantic sort of encounter between two people who have just seen a nature documentary, one of those nature documentaries which are often on PBS, which show and discuss the mating habits of various kinds of animals by personifying them and anthropomorphizing them, while a voiceover in a mellifluous narrator says things like, the kangaroo rat is a shy suitor, and things like that. And these people have been affected by the nature documentary in a way that the poem makes clear. Romantic moment. After seeing the nature documentary, we walk down Canyon Road into the plaza of art galleries and high-end clothing stores, where the mock orange is fragrant in the summer night and the smooth adobe walls glow flesh-like in the dark. It is just our second date, and we sit down on a bench, holding hands, not looking at each other. And if I were a bull penguin right now, I would lean over and vomit softly into the mouth of my beloved. And if I were a peacock, I'd flex my gluteal muscles to erect and spread the quills on my Cinemax tail. If she were a female walking stick bug, she might insert her hypodermic proboscis delicately into my neck and inject me with a rich hormonal sedative before attaching her egg sac to my thoracic undercarriage. And if I were a young chimpanzee, I would break off a nearby tree limb and smash all the windows in the plaza jewelry stores. And if she were a Brazilian leopard frog, she would wrap her impressive tongue 3 times around my right thigh and pummel me lightly against the surface of our pond, and I would know her feelings were sincere. Instead, we sit a while in silence, until she remarks that in the relative context of tortoises and iguanas, human males seem to be actually rather expressive. And I say that female crocodiles really don't receive enough credit for their gentleness. Then she suggests that it is time for us to go to get some ice cream cones and eat them.
Tony Hoagland reading Romantic Moment. Now we go from PBS back to the mall. We never seem to be too far from a shopping center in Tony Hoagland's poetry.
Since American culture, the old American culture, has been destroyed, we've had to find new places to get together as a society. And one of the places where we seem to come together is the food court. And that's what this poem is about. Food court. If you want to talk about America, why not just mention Jimmy's Walk and Roll American Chinese Gourmet Emporium, the cloud of steam rising from the bean sprouts and the shredded cabbage, when the oil is sprayed on from a giant plastic bottle wielded by Ramon, Jimmy's main employee, who hates having to wear the sanitary hairnet and who thinks the food smells shitty, and the secretaries from the law firm drifting in from work at noon to fill the tables of the food court in their cotton skirts and oddly sexy running shoes? Why not mention the little grove of palm trees maintained by the mall corporation and the splashing fountain beside it and the faint smell of dope smoke drifting from the men's room where 2 boys from the suburbs dropped off by their moms with their baggy ghetto pants and skateboards are getting ready to pronounce their first sentences in African American? Oh yes, everything, all chopped up and stirred together in the big steel pan held over a medium-high blue flame while Jimmy watches with his practical black eyes.
Food Court by Tony Hoagland. His latest book is called Hard Rain, published by Holly Ridge Press. For a quick fix, you can read a handful of his poems online at poetryfoundation.org. where you'll also find poetry news, features, and more audio. Thanks to everyone who has written in with comments on the podcast, positive and critical. Please drop us an email at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the poetryfoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.